Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the book of Philippians chapter 3, and I'll be reading verses 3 to 11. Let's listen to the word of God. Philippians 3 to 11. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also. If anyone thinks he has reasons for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. In order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share in his suffering, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a beautiful gospel you have given us. Not just Good Friday, but Easter. And so, Lord, as we come here, help us to understand the word from your servant Paul, inspired by the Spirit, and what it means for us today. For this we ask in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the issues last December in Time magazine, the cover page had this big red cross that crossed the year 2020. And the title below the heading reads, "The Worst Year Ever." And the magazine explained that the use of the red cross in December 2020 marks the end of a historic year, but not the end of a battle to curb the spread of a deadly virus. Well, we have passed the one-year mark of COVID-19. We are still feeling the impact of it, especially if we look at what's happening at the rest of the world. How has this past year been for you? Now, I'm sure we can draw many reflections from this unprecedented year. But if there's one lesson we've learned, if you're honest about it, it would be this. There is nothing we can put our ultimate confidence in. A virus unseen by the naked eye can cause great havoc to entire population. It can crash an economy. It can take away jobs. It can stay at home and cause many worries to our health. However, in the passage that I just read to us, Paul, the author tell us that someone we can our confidence in. Not just in this life, but life after death. And if we put in Him, we can know God in an intimate way. And He holds the key to our lives. And when we recognize the surpassing worth of knowing Jesus, then things are pale comparing to knowing Him. Now, in verses 3 and 4, so uses this phrase, put no confidence in the flesh. You know, he repeats three times in two sentences. And when the Bible repeats something over and over again, we need to pay a little bit of attention. What is the issue there? Why does the apostle need to repeat this? You see, during his time, there was a group of people that were going around teaching that you need to be circumcised to be a Christian. A circumcision, Jewish religious ritual that involves the removal of the male genital foreskin. And in the Old Testament, it is a sign to say that you belong to the people of God. But the Bible, in the New Testament, it is clear that belief in Jesus do not need to go through this ritual. These guys back then are saying that if you accept you, and not only does this teaching kind of confuse people, it also leads people away from the essential truth, faith in Jesus Christ. Because being a Christian, if I follow that rule, that ritual, then it means that I also must fulfill many obligations. There's endless Jewish practices, there's ceremonies, there's customs to follow. It is like I have this KPI to meet in order for God to accept me. And I need to be good enough, behave well, know all the rules, then God accepts me. Our friends, when we start thinking that coming to God is about I must be good enough, I must be hidden, I need to follow a lot of religious rules and add in more just in case I missed out something, you know, that will make us either very depressive or very proud. It will make us depressive because we can never match up with God's standard of goodness or holiness. Then we engage in this endless trap, you know, I must do more, I must serve more, I must do more activity, come for more activities in church, and we fall into this guilt trap, never good enough for God. It can also make us proud because we think we can earn our way to God. Only a certain elite, a religious elite, can attain this salvation in God. I have more Bible knowledge. I do more charity work. Maybe I'm a pastor. That qualifies me before God. And what all this leads is believing in God is a performance trap. You need to perform, then God accepts you. And the way we look at God is like He is this mean divine being looking at us and judging us that you are not good enough. If there is who is good enough for God, it is the author of this passage, Paul. You see, in verses 4 and 6, Paul lays his credentials. You know, basically he's saying this. He's, you know, he is a Jew,
Hello. Okay, this one's a little bit more stable. All right, so Paul says, you want to talk about circumcision? Yes, I was circumcised at the 8th day of my birth. You want to talk about being a Jew? I have a very unique lineage, the tribe of Benjamin. I'm the Hebrew of Hebrews. You want to talk about following religious order and rituals? I'm up there. I'm a Pharisee. What does it mean? I'm a religious leader, a Bible scholar. As to zeal, persecutor of the church. Before he knew Christ, he was persecuting Christians because of his love for God. And as to righteousness under the law, in terms of keeping the law, Paul says, blameless. Who can call themselves blameless? But Paul is so good at keeping the law, he calls himself blameless. But look at what Paul writes after that. He says this, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. You know, when Paul believed in Jesus, he realized that his family background, his impressive resume, his religious knowledge and good behavior, all these mean nothing before God. They don't earn us the merit for God to accept us. They don't earn us a right standing before God. It is as though Paul had this profit and loss statement of his life. You know, he placed all his accomplishment, knowledge, his pedigree on the loss, the debit column. And in Paul's words, they are rubbish. Worthless things, because they mean nothing to God. And that means to stop trusting himself and his method. The only thing that Paul placed in the credit column, and that will be his profit, is faith in Jesus Christ. Full stop. Paul puts his ultimate confidence not on the things he achieved or can achieve, but trusting Jesus and knowing him. Friends, there is a fundamental truth about Christianity that we must hold dear. What qualifies us to be a child of God is not who we are, where we come from, or what we have done. It is faith in Jesus Christ. And that is the good news. We cannot be good enough. We have to trust God. Trust Jesus. And that is the message of Good Friday. God forgives and receives us as his children. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My brothers and sisters who are getting baptized, confirm. It's an important message that we need to take home. You know, our response to get baptized or to be confirmed is not to earn God's favor or to earn God's acceptance. Each one of you are his dearly loved child. And when you make the vows later, it is not as though I must keep all these things, then God will accept me. I need to be perfect. No, it is God who has accepted you first as his child, and you are making a response. And even then, God will enable you through his Spirit. All right, we learn that being religious, having good behavior, performing good works, they don't earn us favor with God. They don't make us a child of God. God loves us first through his Son, Jesus. And we respond by putting our faith in Jesus. And that is what makes us a child of God. Now, if you look down in verses 8 to 11, Paul tells us why it is so worth knowing Jesus. He tells us in verse 8, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Now, this idea of surpassing worth means this is of greater value, eternal value. Paul has status, he has reputation, he has the Bible knowledge, but they are nothing compared to knowing Jesus. And I'd like to highlight three aspects of why knowing Jesus is of great worth. And they are in verses 9 to 11. Firstly, Paul tells us in verse 9, when we put our faith in Jesus, we have a righteousness from God. Now, this idea of righteousness in the original language is like in a law court setting. There is a judge and the guilty party. Only the judge can declare the guilty whether he's innocent or righteous. And this is what happens when we believe in Jesus. God declares us righteous. In other words, accepts us as his child on the account of what Jesus has done on Good Friday. Now, the second reason why knowing Jesus is of surpassing worth is in verse 10. And Paul says, and his desire, that I may know him. When Paul says that I want to know him, he's not referring to knowing God like having a fire insurance. When I'm in trouble, there's someone to go, you know, like God is like an insurance. He wanted more than just a passport to heaven. To know somebody is more than hate knowledge. It is more than knowing about somebody. It is having a relationship with someone. And that is what Paul wants. I want an intimate relationship with God. And that is what Jesus promised us in John 17. And this is eternal life, that they know you, only through God and Jesus. Eternal life, according to Jesus, is to know God. Not just having the assurance of an afterlife, but to know God even here and now. Now, Jan Johnson, in her book, she wrote this book, When the Soul Listens, she defines eternal life as a quality of life that we can know God in the present life. And she writes about knowing God through contemplative prayer. And there's one illustration about this in the book that talks about knowing God. The book describes this story of an old peasant who went to church each day to kneel and to pray. Without fail, he does that. And when asked to explain how can you do that every day without fail, he simply replied, "I looked at him, and he looked at me, and we tell each other how much we love each other." That is the kind of intimacy that we can know God. I'm very encouraged by the testimonies that our baptism candidate writes. It's in the booklet. You can pick it up as you leave the sanctuary. Very encouraged by how they experience God. It gives me the glimpse of what this intimacy looks like. And in one testimony, there's a candidate who shares that, you know, while waiting for her driving test result, she's so worried and so anxious. But the Lord impressed a verse from the Bible in her heart to trust Him. And she sensed the Lord speaking to her that, you know, no matter how the result turns out, she can trust Him. And the lesson also taught her to trust God for her whole life, not just that particular incident. And she wrote this statement, "I used to think that life has no purpose and meaning, as I did not know what to do in life. But that verse reminds me that God has a purpose and a path for me because He loves me and wants what is best for me." And in another testimony, a candidate shares, after knowing Jesus, he learned to be a contented person. And he writes that knowing God has changed my life for the better and has made me feel more complete. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is of a greater worth because through faith in Him, God declares us righteous. He has forgiven us, and that opens the door to eternal life and intimacy with Him now and after life on earth. Now, the third reason why knowing Christ is of greater worth is because, as Paul tells us, we can experience the power of His resurrection. And he tells us this in verse 10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Now, we celebrate Easter because the Bible tells us that 3 days after Jesus died, He rose from the dead. And the Bible records the names of the witnesses to Jesus' resurrection. Now, how do we experience the power of Jesus' resurrection? What does Paul mean here? Now, the power of Jesus' resurrection in this passage has two parts to it, two phases, if I can put it that way. The first part is a new life with God when we believe in Jesus. And the Bible often describes as someone coming to know Jesus or believing in Jesus as being born again, a new creation. We have a new life with God. And the resurrection power of God is seen in how God gradually transformed that life inside out. So in one testimony, a sister is sharing how God showed her during the circuit breaker that she needs to work in her relationship with people to show love to others. In one of her sentences, she says, "I am determined to be a better version of myself each day." That is the subtle power of the resurrection at work in someone's life, as the Holy Spirit prompts you and I. The second part of this resurrection from the dead is after life on earth. It's very interesting that Paul tells us later, you know, our citizenship is not on earth. The end is not at Mandai Crematorium. Our citizenship is in heaven. And he describes what the Lord Jesus will do. He will transform our lowly bodies to be like His glorious body. That is our Christian hope, the hope of Easter. Life don't end here. We have a life with God after life on earth. And there are many passages in the Bible that talks about Jesus' return. One of it, I encourage you to go back and read, is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. It talks about Christ's return and the resurrection. So why is knowing Jesus of surpassing worth? When we put our faith in Him, God declares us righteous. We can have a relationship with God, and we will experience the power of His resurrection here and life after this. You know, but it's very interesting, and I don't want to leave this out, where Paul says, there is something else that I also want to share with Jesus. And that is his suffering. Now, this is strange, isn't it? How many of us would want to share in the suffering of another person? All of us want the good part of Christianity. Share in Jesus' suffering, like the cross, death. I think Noah. Maybe the guy beside me, he fits the bill. But Paul understands that if you want to share intimacy with someone, if you want to know the power of Christ's resurrection, then we must share in his suffering. This is a picture of the Boys Brigade in Presbyterian High, winning the national drill competition about 28 years ago. It's a very dear picture to me. Now, the competition caught the press attention, so it was published in the Straits Times and the Chinese paper. I put up the Chinese one because it has the full picture of the team. It's a glorious moment. You know what? But what people don't see behind this moment of glory is the years of suffering. When many students were enjoying their March, June, December school holidays, these boys were baking under the sun. They were in their drill boots, marching up the parade square day and night. They don't just suffer the years of training, they suffer the agony of losing in previous competition. And they could have given up the third time, saying, enough is enough lah. I'm already a school leaver. You still want me to put on the uniform for a third time because we haven't reached our goal? But the school leavers don on the uniform again, march along with their juniors, with the encouragement of the rest of the company, the supporters. And behind that picture I show you was 6 years of going through that. But the suffering and the failure was necessary for the team to reach this glorious moment, without which we could never have done it. And today, when the teammates and supporters meet each other, one another, we share a certain camaraderie. We know each other in a way because we have suffered together. It brought about the good old days, our suffering. We boast about our suffering. We have shared memories and kinship. We feel that glorious moment again. Now, I share this to illustrate that if we want to know Jesus, have this intimacy with him, we need to move beyond the surface level of knowing God. We must share in his suffering. Brothers and sisters, Jesus shared in our suffering. God put on human flesh, leave his glorious heaven to come on earth, to go through pain, suffering, finally death on the cross. He shared in our suffering, pierced to death. And because Jesus shared in our suffering, the book of Hebrews tells us he sympathized with our weaknesses because he died for us. And we have this confidence to draw near to God and to receive mercy because of what Jesus did. Brothers and sisters, the suffering that we will share with Christ will come in different forms. Forsaking our right for the sake of others. Being criticized by the world who do not subscribe to our values. You may go through persecution. You know, as I look back, as I was looking at our annual congregational report, I see my brothers and sisters in Christ sharing in Christ's suffering. In small, subtle ways, through their sacrifices. It was a COVID year, it has some challenges, but some of you stepped up. You produced our online service, you did a pretty good job with your gift and talent. You stepped in when we did not have the resources. You burned the midnight oil on Saturday, watched with tension where the Sunday live service will go on well. My BB officers burned their Saturday morning unbaked under the sun, still with the boys. My youth leaders burned their Sundays discipling the next generation. Many others did not give up meeting with one another. We put up the suffering of another Zoom meeting just to show that we are present and we are there for one another. Brothers and sisters, the Christian life is not going to be a bed of roses. Following Christ will entail carrying your cross daily. That is what Jesus said. But it's in his suffering we will share in his glory. I begin the sermon by asking us to reflect, what or who can we put our ultimate confidence in? COVID-19 is a lesson to learn that we cannot or nothing can guarantee our lives. But Jesus is our confidence. Through faith in Christ, God declares us righteous. We can know God and we can experience the power of his resurrection now and life after. May the Holy Spirit grant you and I the desire to know God intimately, to feel the pulse of his resurrection in our daily life, and to share in his suffering, and ultimately in his glory. Let us pray. Brothers and sisters, which aspect of knowing Jesus do you want God to help you today? Knowing him, feeling the power of his resurrection, or sharing in his suffering? Ask the Lord to grow you in that area. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you have done on Good Friday. Being God, you came and shared in our suffering, gave the only life acceptable to God for the forgiveness of sin, your life. And through you, we have life now, eternally. Indeed, Lord, may your Spirit enable us to know you in an intimate way, share in the power of your resurrection, and share in your suffering as we await your glorious return. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.